In the 8th chapter of Romans, I didn't think we should remember the other ministers that are in different meetings. Joseph is up in Washington, and they're revival meetings will close out this evening. Let's see. Brother Roger, I believe, is in Tennessee, he was saying. And I heard where Brother Murray was, but I can't think. Where is he? Pardon? Colorado? Okay. Let's remember him. And then Brother David is down in Belize. So he's the one that's enjoying the warm weather, I guess. And if I know anything, they're probably putting him to work down there. So let's just remember other ministers, too, that the Lord will give them special help wherever they are. I'd like to start reading in Romans 8th chapter. And I want to start with verse 11. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, I'd like for you to notice how balanced the scripture is here this morning. As we read down through here, you're going to notice that he says, if we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. On the one side, they're suffering as a Christian. And on the other side is glorification, if you want to put it that way, glory. Maybe before I get into things, I always like to pray before I preach, and I thought I could read the scripture and then pray, but it looks like that it might be different here. So let's just bow our heads for prayer. Dear Father, we thank thee for the privilege of being able to be here together to worship thee with thy children. We thank thee, Lord, for this meeting that we can have. And we realize, Lord, that there's a great meeting coming in the air when we're going to be caught up out of this world to be with thee throughout all eternity. And then that there is going to be a great meeting in the sky, in the heavens, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that Jesus will be the one who will be the vocal point of that great meeting. And everyone shall bow before him and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Father, we just pray this morning that thou wilt give each of us grace and strengthen our hearts and help us, Lord, to live holy lives and be ready when that last great trump sounds and time shall be no more. We just thank thee again for the privilege of being here. In Jesus' name, amen. I had to think about Brother Laverne mentioned about negatives and positives, he maybe guessed what I was thinking here, and how some people are sort of negative and other people seem like are more positive thinking. I may be one of those that are more negative to be around. I may see this bad and that bad, and I need to be looking for more of the good things. And it is very pleasant to be around a person that has a positive attitude, as long as they don't overlook sin and things like that. But the scripture is so balanced here. He says, if you look again in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And this, again, makes me think of the topic Brother Ron had the other day on freedom. The devil tells the world, he tells the people out there that are not right with him, if you come my way, then you can have real freedom. You cannot be bound by all of these things that you have to do and you don't and all that kind of thing. You can have real freedom. But they don't realize that it's a lie and that he simply wants them to come his way where they can be under his bondage. And this scripture brings it out so clear where it says that because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. And the Lord says for them to, and calls and invites them to come his way, that his way is a way of glorious liberty, of real freedom. And yes, he would tell us there's some mountains that needed to be climbed out there. There's some rough places along the way to heaven. But it's a way of glorious freedom. Even if we are in prison, like when we go over to OCC, we see some of the men there that seem like that they have responded and their faces just glow. When you get up at the front, you can sort of pick them out as you're talking to them. And it just seems like they're like little birds with their mouths wide open, just ready to receive whatever God has for them. And they're in prison. I think Brother Ron mentioned this. But they're free, free indeed, free in the Lord. And yet you can come out here, out of the prison walls, out of the prison fences, and you can look at people that are so bound by sin. They're not in prison, but they're so bound by sin, bound by Satan, bound by what people think, bound by fads and fashions and all the things that the world can offer. And they don't know what it is to be free in Jesus, to be able to give their all to him. In verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. There's one place there in Revelations, I believe, it speaks about the saints. I think it says, under the altar, said they cried out, O Lord, how long? How long? How long will it be until we're relieved of these earthly infirmities and these earthly pressures and these things that can press us down as far as what the world can offer? And they cried out that. And then the very last chapter of Revelation speaks about the Spirit and the bride say, come, and whosoever will may come and drink of the river of living water. And the final invitation is given over there in the last chapter of Revelation. In verse 22, and now only they, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, that we know not what we should, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as a sheep for the slaughter. Yea, in all things, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And even while we're worshiping here this morning, there, and probably at different times because of the time zones around the world, there are different ones that are worshiping God in much different ways than we're worshiping him right now this morning. I was reading just recently of an account over in North Korea, and it's a very, very closed country, if you want to put it that way, for Christianity. The young ruler seems to be really wanting to prove his ability to keep things in control since he took over from his father. In fact, just recently he had his uncle executed, the man that was one of the closest ones to him. Right there in front of everybody, had police come in and get his uncle, who was all dressed out in his official clothes, and they took him out and he was executed. And this young man has been doing all kinds of things. There was already, it was a rough place to try to serve the Lord. But there were a number of ministers that had been laboring there for a number of years. And it had become so rough on them that they were thinking about trying to escape the country and get out where they would have some freedom. They had closed little house churches and places. They'd hide away out in the woods and hide away out in the mountains and in caves and different places to try to worship the Lord. They called this missionary in because they knew that he had been able to help people get out of North Korea. And I think there were around 70 of them gathered there all together in a sort of a dark place where that hopefully no one would discover them. And this missionary came in and they told him their desires for them, if they could, to be able to escape the country and get out of this awful persecution. And the missionary listened, and as he ran this through his mind, he knew, he said, he thought of what it would cost to get them out of there, and he figured it was going to run somewhere around $200,000 to $300,000 to get these men out of the country. But he thought, well, that's what we're here for, is to help one another. And he was willing to do what he could to try to help them out. But then one of the older ministers back in the back said, brother, he stood at his feet and he was weeping. And he said, let me go back in the other room and pray for a little while. He said, some way, he said, I don't feel clear about this. He said, I don't want to leave unless the Lord for sure wants me to leave. And he said, I don't feel quite clear about this. And they went back in the other room, and they didn't know how long he would be there. Many times they would go back and pray for hours. But it really wasn't too long until he came back out on the scene, and he faced the group, and there again tears were flowing down his cheeks, and he stood and he said, that I feel like that the Lord is really would have us. We have a place here. We have people that are dependent on us. There's little house churches all around that each one of us go and we labor in and we work on in. And he said, at this point, he said, I feel like the Lord is saying no, that it's not the time for us to try to flee the country. And different ones were weeping, but there was absolutely no resistance whatsoever. If the Lord wanted them to stay, and it caused persecution, and over there, they didn't take you into a court and try you, and then after they've given you a free trial, then either release you or put you in prison. It is just, if you're a Christian, you go straight to jail, or you're going to be tortured, and maybe even killed and put to death. But they accepted this as what the Lord was directing them to do. And each one of them thanked the minister, the missionary that had come in, for coming and for being willing to try to help them escape the country. But they were going to stay and stay with their little groups that were all scattered around that area. It would have looked like the thing that would have been the easiest for the flesh would be just to get out of there, to be away from that awful persecution, to get away from those wicked men who put people, good people, to death. But they wanted to please God more than anything else. And this scripture says, one that probably all of us could probably quote by heart, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I'd like to look over in John, and in the 9th chapter, if you want to turn with me, John the 9th chapter. In my devotions, I've been reading some of these scriptures, and it's in the Gospels, and I'm not sure just where it is, but there's a number of accounts of Jesus and the miracles that he's been doing. And as I read those about those miracles and those things, you know, the thought went through my mind, well, you know, if we had some of those things taking place right in our own midst, wouldn't it convince people? Wouldn't it cause them to see their need of the Lord and see that God is all powerful and help them to turn to the Lord? But sometimes there are conditions and reasons why the miracles took place. In John the 9th chapter, I'd like to start reading there with the very first verse. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that said and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes. We know not, he is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already, if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was born, that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And I believe that we'll stop right there. And this was a man that the scripture said for, I think it was, 38 years. He was born blind. He was blind from his birth. It wasn't like that he used to see and then didn't. And the disciples asked that question. They said, was it because of him sinning, or was it because of his parents sinning that he was born blind? And maybe you have that same question at times, comes to your mind. Maybe something takes place in your life that seems like that you just wonder why this is happening. Is the Lord against me? Is he not looking on the scene? Does he not know what's happening? And maybe the devil would like to come around and say, well, it's because of some sin. And you open your heart up and you allow the Lord to search your heart and you say, Lord, is there anything that's coming between me and thee? And everything appears to be clear. And the devil would come with all kinds of accusations, trying to do just like he did Job when God allowed the enemy to come in and to try him, to take his home away, to take his family away, and all the things that he had in this temporal world. And yet he clung to the Lord. He did not fall for the devil's accusations. There's something I thought was very interesting. And this took place also in North Korea. And it was passed on to CAM. There was a missionary lady who had been very faithful. She had gone for 8 years. She would cross over into North Korea, and she would take things that she knew that they needed, little things that she could carry along, and she would travel over the dark paths up to that country. It was a very dangerous work that she was doing. And the people were afraid to accept the good news. They were afraid to become Christians because they knew that it would be immediate imprisonment without a trial. And the sentence a lot of times would be for many years. And many of the Christians never came back. They never were seen again. But they were attracted by this lady, the little gifts that she brought. They were so poor that they finally had fallen to just do about anything, whether it was stealing, however, to try to get a little bit of food, a little bit of something to take to their homes. And she would bring them. Sometimes she would bring them some clothes or some food or some goods that couldn't be found in North Korea. And she just felt this time, it seemed like that the Lord was speaking to her in a special way, that he was going to do something that was going to convince them that that he was the true God. It sort of takes me back, makes me think of back in the New Testament days when the Lord confirmed the gospel by signs and wonders and all those things, that the gospel would be confirmed. In fact, they even said, CAM said that there are a number of things that are taking place like that in North Korea, and it about sounds like some New Testament reading from the New Testament because of some of the things that are happening, convincing people that God is true, that he's the true God. And she said that she realized that it was a great risk if the police would catch her. And she was trying to slip in and then help the people and slip back out to get more things. She had done this for 8 years. And sometimes here again you think of the wonderful miracles that God does. But a lot of times it's with a very high price. Sometimes people give their lives. David Brainerd, you remember, worked and labored for I don't know how many years before he found for his first convert. But he said, whatever it takes, he didn't care, but just that some souls were saved. So the little lady, she prayerfully entered a small room where there were a number of people gathered, and she was giving them the gifts that she had brought. And she was impressed of the Lord. She saw a lady there with her hand all shriveled up and said it just looked like a claw, all shriveled up and useless, couldn't even be opened in any way. And she thought, the thought came to her that if the lady would be willing, and she asked the lady, she said, would you believe in Jesus? Jesus, if he would heal you today, touch your hand. And this crippled lady, she hesitated for a moment because, like we were saying, they knew that there was a cost behind receiving the Lord as their own Savior. But she thought, well, she didn't have anything to lose. And she nodded her head. And her face, there was just no expectation, just a blank face there. Anyway, the people moved around the missionary, and the missionary was praying for this lady. And the time swept slowly by, and the missionary, it says that the sweat trickled down her back, and nothing was happening. And she began crying out to the Lord, pleading for God to show his power and his mercy to confirm and prove to these people that God is all-powerful and that he's able to do whatever he wants to do in whatever way that he wants to do it. And suddenly, there was someone in the crowd looking on, and they said, it's moving. Said, her hand is moving. They had noticed that there was a difference, that there was a change. And every eye was focused on that crippled hand of that lady. And the old woman was crying. She said, my hand, my fingers, they're straightened out. They were all curled up just like a claw. And now she could straighten them out. And then she acknowledged with her own lips, she said, she must be right. She must be right. What she teaches must be true. And she wept there with her hand completely able to use it again. And that seemed to be just an opening for someone else. There was another lady there who said, missionary, would you go over to our house? She said, my husband's laying on the floor. He can't get up. He's completely crippled. He'd fallen. And the doctors have done all kinds of things. They've tried to help him and said he's just laying there on the floor, a helpless man. Would you be willing to pray for him? And the scripture says the prayer of faith is what saves the soul. It's what gets through to God. And this missionary had to have something within her that kept her going back year after year, being faithful to those precious souls. She said, yes, let's go. God is going to do something more to capture the heart of these people, his lost sheep, she thought. And so the little group slipped out into the dark alleys, and they said that they tried to slip out unnoticed where that the police wouldn't see them going. They slipped over and to this other lady's house, and they went in, and this husband of hers was a medical doctor. He was laying on the floor. He couldn't do anything. He'd fallen 3 years ago. He couldn't walk. He couldn't even stand. He couldn't move around freely. And when the doctor heard about his wife's plans, his eyes, it says, was flashing with anger. He let him know. He said, I've studied modern science, and only science heals, and I cannot be healed. And he said, God is a myth, and I will not allow this woman to touch me. And the missionary, she prayed, She asked for direction, that the Lord would direct her to know what to do in this situation. And she sensed the Lord's direction, that he would be with her. And she started mentioning about Jesus and how he'd healed the sick and the crippled people. And she says that, "I believe that Jesus will heal you." And there seemed like that there was a change came over that man. There was a glimmer of hope came to his eyes. And he nodded his head. And the missionary, she bent over and touched him on the shoulder and began to pray that the Lord would heal that poor doctor and show him that he was greater than all of his medicine and all of his doctrine. And she went on praying fervently. You know, a lot of times I'm afraid we pray for a little while and we sort of give up. And we maybe don't avail ourselves of the means of grace. And I'm just talking about people that are not right with the Lord. When we pray for them, I believe it's going to take some time, some effort. It's going to take getting alone with the Lord and really getting sincere about what we're doing. But the people all around were silent. They didn't know what was going to happen. Would this man be healed like the other lady? And then all of a sudden, the doctor's body began to move. And he said, "This is not real." He said, "It's not me." He sat up. And then he struggled up and stood to his feet. And the people that were there that were watching said, "Who is this God that he has such power?" They softly murmured among themselves. God's able to do whatever he wants to do. And we're not here to have healing campaigns and all that kind of thing. But there's a number of us among our people right here that know that the Lord has touched us. We've called for the elders of the church and they've come. They've anointed us with oil like the scripture says. And I know a number of you that the Lord has seen fit to touch. And he can touch us most of all. He can touch our souls. But he can also confirm the work of the gospel through these things. And the people were amazed. The doctor was standing there on his feet tearfully. And he said, "Now I believe." He says, "Yes, yes, Jesus is better than any medical surgeon." And the people began weeping all around. Slowly, softly, for fear that someone might hear and report them. But you know, we think of these are wonderful things. Well, if the Lord would perform something like this in America, wouldn't it convince people? But sometimes there are conditions to what God wants to do. She had worked there and labored there with no visible results for 8 years. And are we willing to do the same thing to see the moving of God in our midst, reaching out to souls that are needy? And the missionary, she was blessed to see every one of the people who witnessed God's power bow down before him. They proclaimed their acceptance of God as their Lord and Savior. And the doctor's last promise made the missionary's eyes shine. Before she left, he said, "We will meet in our house regularly and worship God every Sunday." That little missionary lady slipped back out of the house. She had to leave quickly because they spent too much time in an area the police would catch them. And she slipped back out on the trails and started the dangerous journey back to her home. But her heart was overwhelmed with the power, the presence, and the goodness of God for what he had done. She felt his comfort and like a warm stream flow through her chilled body. And the words came to her, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And then C.A.M. was saying here that in recent years, God has been displaying his power in North Korea through signs and wonders like these, building his church as he chooses. Many small groups of believers worship the Lord, the risen Lord, in secret. They gather in the wilderness, on mountain slopes, behind barns, and other hidden places to avoid being seen by the police because of God's work through faithful missionaries in border towns. The underground church is multiplying. And I just want to encourage us this morning that, like it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, in the very last part of the chapter, it speaks about us, for thy sake, in verse 36, we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But then, that is the negative side. Now listen to the positive side. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. And this includes, you can put your name in there, whatever the circumstances are in your life, whatever the circumstances are affecting you and maybe pressing you down at times. None of these things, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's kneel in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, today we're so thankful for thy mercy to each one of us personally. We're so thankful, Lord, that thou art concerned about all the things, the circumstances, the things in each of our lives that affect us. The things that may look small to other people, yet, Lord, thou art concerned about these things. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou will help us this morning, that we might be encouraged in thee. We might realize how great our God is, and that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. As long as we walk in the light, as long as we live holy lives and walk carefully before thee, that we can have this assurance that when thou dost call us home, we shall be ready to go and answer. We pray that thou wilt just be with us now throughout this day. May our hearts be stayed upon thee, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask it all. Amen.
Well, I can say it was good to be here. Kind of had to sympathize with Brother Steve being by himself this morning. I got to OCC this morning, and Dor and I were the only ones there. And we still had a good service. Romans 8, verse 18, if we suffer with him, then in verse 21, the glorious freedom, or liberty, I think it says there, the freedom that we can enjoy. If we suffer with him, the glory will be revealed in us. Appreciated the message, you know, the healing and miracles. They're still today. Do we have faith? Or do we have a positive faith in God that he can work miracles today? You know, I'm sure everyone heard about the fire in Delbert's house on Thursday. I believe that was a miracle that house is still standing. a water pipe melted and sprung a leak, and it was a sprinkler system. Put the fire out. There was a lot of work there to clean up. Big mess. But I think if we're looking for God or God's mercy and actions, interaction in our lives, we will see miracles all around us. We just have to have our eyes open. Does anyone else have anything to say, a testimony or anything you want to share?